Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're a guide, our teacher, our helper in a time of need. Lord, comforter, our guide, we praise you and thank you for Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 tonight. We're going to continue to talk about guarding your heart and all the crazy stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of deception. We got to guard our heart, right? Lots of things going on. And you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Action is language, isn't it?
Yes.
Action is a language, right? How many of you notice it? Like, you know, and that's where the devil loves to say one thing and do something else. And remember, it was three or four years ago when the riots would happen. I remember watching the news and you'd see, and they'd say, well, this is a peaceful protest and there's flames in the background, right? And then there's people looting and I'm thinking, this doesn't line. I feel like I was watching an old Saturday Night Live skit or, you know, like a cartoon or something. It was like some kind of satire, right? Because the action and the language weren't matching up. And so action is a language. And obviously, we're going to dig in a little bit tonight about having our action lining up with that and guarding our heart. But if we look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, this is famous where Jesus talks about the end times, right? And if you've been around here at all, I've read this probably about 1,000 times, it feels like, you know, Matthew chapter 24. But verse 9, it starts, and then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. Interesting, right? Yeah. Here we go. And you shall be hated of all nations. Here we go. For my name's sake, right? So one thing is we need to take the pressure off and INSU is like, I'm really not that important. None of us really are. They're trying to get to one person, and that's Jesus, because they hate him. Yeah. And if we are Christians or have the Zoe kind of life inside of us, we are definitely a target. But we don't need to be in fear. And it says in verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because of iniquity, which is sin, shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold, but he that, here we go, shall endure until the end shall be saved. And so really what the scripture is talking about is going to be external people coming against you. There's going to be internal people that are going to rise up and do wrong things, right? And because when iniquity abounds or sin abounds, it means when it's manifest or it's full, that the love of God or it says the love of many shall wax cold. You know, when sin increases, love decreases. When love increases, sin decreases. Why? Because sin is self-centered. It's all about me. I'm my whole desire in my life, excuse me, is to get better on your expense. I steal from you because it benefits me. I use you because it benefits me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And so when sin decreases, or we can really say disobedience to God decreases, the love of God increases in our lives. Verse 14, so again 13, but he shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all the nations. Here we go. Then shall the end come. You know, I remember I was in Africa one time, in Kenya, and I'm way back in the bush, right? I'm in this tribe, and we're sitting in this little bitty, like, cantina, or this little tiny kind of restaurant, and there's Joyce Myers on the TV. And then Joel Osteen, you know, and I was like, praise God, that's so cool, right? And it gave me the revelation that even in the midst that this scripture was being fulfilled, that the word is getting into those nations. Yeah. And I thought, how powerful is that? And then when I was there, it was so interesting because the farther back we went to Garsen, which is kind of on the border of Kenya and where Mogadishu is at. I'm trying to think, Somalia. And they're close to Somalia, and the gospel hadn't been preached. It just got there 10 years before we got there. So can you imagine the place where when you're reading Isaiah, 53, where it talks about by his stripes we're healed, they don't know who they're talking about. They don't understand who that means. So, you know, it's exciting to see that this scripture is being fulfilled and the gospel is being reached, that it is reaching people, that it is out there, you know, reaching those people. And so I think it's too hostile now for us to get back in there. But guess what? We're seeing some of those students raise people from the dead. We've seen a couple people that have been raised from the dead. So they're just doing things. It's totally incredible. But what it is, it's we're at the end times. We're at the end times. And I mean, if you read the scripture, just like, yep, that happened today. That happened this week, right? It's happening all the time. These scriptures are being fulfilled. And so 1 Timothy 6:12, excuse me, let's turn there. 1 Timothy 6:12. So action's a language. Our action needs to line up with the word says, right? And so 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, in the charismaniac, you know, we're Pentecostal here, right? We're word of faith. We're whatever, you know, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think the good fight of faith is, you know, faith is too many people. We're believing stuff in. We've got to believe for money. We're going to believe for healing. We're going to believe these things. But fighting the good fight of faith is walking the walk, right? It is a faith walk to just live righteous, right? Because what happens? You can get sucked into the pressure. I remember just, you know, being in the office and being with a bunch of, you know, people, and hey, we're all going to go out, like this week, you know, it was like, hey, you want to go? Want to go to the bar with us? We're going to go to, you know, we're going to have a, you know, all of us in the office here, we're going to go down and have drinks and everything. No, I'm not. See how easy it is just to get sucked into that where it's like, am I going to make a stand? You're going to be tested, right? Everything that we do in life, we're going to see a test in it. So when we go back up here to Matthew 24, so we're again, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold what? On eternal life. It's the long game. Ever heard of the long game? Right? So many people get tripped up on an event. You know, well, this happened, so I'm offended, I'm going to stop going to church. Well, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. My relationship with God is way bigger than the church. It's way bigger than any circumstance. And I always see people, remember the 80s? I remember it was probably too young enough for that, but all the ministers that fell and everything too. And, you know, I was a kid back then. In the 80s, some of them fell. And I thought as a kid, it's like, wow, they fall. How am I going to make it, right? The older I get, I'm thinking, their walk doesn't have anything to do with me. Because I'm fighting the good fight of faith. It's Jesus and I. Well, but this person did this. Well, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It means this, Jesus is leading the way, and we're just following him, right? Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto he's called us and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Here's the message. And the message is kind of like, hey, dude, gnarly, man. It's so stripped down and street language, but here it goes. Says, but you, Timothy, man of God, run your life from all of this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love. Here we go. Steadiness, and courtesy. Run hard and fast in your faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. I love the first part of this because it says, Timothy, man of God, run your life from all of this. Pursue what? A righteous life. A righteous life. If we come back to guarding your heart is, it doesn't matter what happens around me, I'm still going to serve God, right? But too many times what happens is, we're not fighting the good fight, and remember we just read Mark chapter 4, all the soil types, right? Remember that? The cares of life, people give up, right? The pride of, you know, the person that hears it with great joy and they give up, and then something comes along, and then the person who, you know, is chasing after riches and other things in life, they give up on it, right? Or they hear it with gladness and there's no root in them, and that means there's no depth to them and they give up, right? These people are all refusing to fight the good fight of faith, right? They're refusing to take the knowledge and the revelation that they do have and hold on to it. So we see here, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy again, I love this, it says, pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness. How many people are just so unsteady? Like, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like the flavor of the month or the flavor of the week, you know what I'm saying? I remember one guy I went to church with years ago. He was our mailman. And it was like he was a Mormon. No, first he was, I grew up in Assembly of God. So first he was Assembly of God, right? Then he became Mormon. Then he became spirit-filled. Then he became a Jewish rabbi. It's like, make something, like figure it out, you know? And then what happens is what? People are like, what are you doing this week? Yeah. And then he was a Mason. And then he was this. And it's like all over the place. Why? Because there's no root. Jesus talks about that in Mark chapter 4. There's no root. And what happens is what? They just kind of float along and take whatever. They're not fighting the good fight of faith. You know, being in the Word of Faith with Brother Hagin and other things too, you know, people are like, well, you know, just being at Raymond, we'd see people healed. You know, I remember somebody that, you know, we'd see women with, you know, I didn't see it. They've testified of it, but you know, they had, you know, lumps on, you know, malignant things on their bodies, right? And they'd come back and they say it fell off in the bathroom, and we pray for people and everything, right? And then what happens is we're not fighting a good faith. You're going to be challenged with your faith. You're going to be challenged with your faith. And I have said this before, I just feel like too many times in the church, when I was in the mainline denomination, I love the mainline denomination, but what is it? When you get saved, you made it in, everything's great, everything's going to be wonderful from here on out. No, that's when the struggle begins. And I believe there's too many people that have backslid because they think it's going to be easy street. Actually, the attack is on when you become saved. Adrian and I got married. I was traveling, I was in a band and different bands and travel around. And we got married August of 96. And we've been married how many years in August? 29 years. All right. Anyway, I'm the math guy. So anyway, we got married, and then sure enough, we decided we're going to get, you know, we're going to get in a church, and we're, you know, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything. And you know, sure enough, all these people that came around, you know, in the old group, man, we need somebody in a band, we need this, and as all of these things came along, right? And I thought, wait a minute here. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to be in that environment anymore. I just don't want it in my life. You know, I mean, it sure feels good to be wanted, right? You know, somebody wants you. But then you come to the conclusion, it's like, wait a minute here. I got to see through this. And what are some of the things we've seen people over the years that get born again and everything else too, right? You get born again, great. Because guess what? The old boyfriend's probably going to come back. You know, your drug dealer is going to come back, knocking on your door, right? All your party buddies, all your friends and everything else too. Why? Because the enemy is using those soul ties to pull you back into it. And guess what it is? It's a fight of faith, isn't it? Just like we read here. Pursue a life of righteousness. And guarding your heart is this. Know that the enemy will come. And so many people get shocked or offended because when the devil does show up, it's like, wait a minute, if Jesus was tempted, you're going to be tempted too, right? Well, you know, I'm just going to pray I'm going to be delivered from these things. Yeah, but the interesting thing was when Jesus there came up out of the water and he was baptized in water by his cousin John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit came upon him, what was the first thing the Holy Spirit led him to do? To be tempted into the wilderness. Why? To fight the good fight of faith. And so if we have an understanding that, you know, guard your heart, is we know the enemy is going to come at some point. He's going to try to come against us. We can just say, you know what? If God be for me, who can be against me? We can use the word. We can stand on the word. We can know his character. And the more we know him and connect with him, the more confidence we're going to have in him. New Living Translation says, fight the good fight of faith for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before my witnesses. So it's I always like to call it, and I've heard other people say it too, but it's called an eternal perspective. If we have an eternal perspective, if we're conscious of our eternal spirit, man, and understand that, again, whatever choices that we make is going to either hurt or hinder God. I mean, it's going to either hurt him or please him in the process. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So interesting. Ran into someone this week that, you know, just things I do outside, client, and we were talking and we got in a conversation, and I mean, I heard things come out of his mouth I haven't heard in like years come out of people's mouth. I mean, he was just, you know, and what, it's a test to see, again, how am I going to respond? And he was frustrated about other things, but the conversation went on, and we were able to have a really good conversation at the end. But what happens is when those things are presented to you, it's how our response is. How will we respond to things? How are we going to respond to people? And Ephesians 4:25 says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all what? Parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you, and don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I remember just here this last week, had a ball game and different things like that, and I was, you know, as a parent, you can kind of lose your cool, right? I'm the only one. You're all perfect out there, right? Just me. So I was coaching and stuff, and I kind of was just, you know how you just, it just gets frustrating, you know, sometimes. You're like, everything's falling apart. Nobody's doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I kind of just lost it. And then on the inside, it was like I just was grieved. Like, I blew it. So I went up to one of the girls and I said, hey, I just apologize because, you know, again, the release felt good, right? I'm just angry. I'm like, ugh! And then later I thought, okay, this isn't good. So I'd repent, right? And what's that? Even though I missed the mark, I still had to come back and say, you know what? I missed the mark. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That was wrong. And, you know, and to say that, well, we're just going to be perfect all the time and everything else. Well, there's only one perfect, and that's Jesus. He's the only perfect one. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, I don't want to read through the works of the flesh. You can read that, but for time's sake, I want to skip down to 22. Galatians 5, 22. We see here that everything else we talked about last week, verse 19, on those are just, again, results of your flesh, the sinful nature. It's all selfish. And a lot of it is based out of fear, right? Afraid you're going to miss out on something. Afraid you're going to lose out on something. Somebody's going to get something else in you. You're in fear that you're, you know, you want to control someone else out of witchcraft and all of these other things going on. But here we go. When we're governed by the Holy Spirit, verse 22, produces this kind of fruit in our lives: the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here we go, and self-control, where there's no law against these things. Man, there's no restrictions, right? Right? Well, you're loving me too much. I'm sorry. You need to stop that, right? My kids don't tell me that at all, right? Yeah. Get away, Dad. Philippians 4:8. And again, the devil is going to attack our thinking. He attacked Adam and Eve's thinking in the garden. He continues to do that path through you. He did it to Jesus. It's the same methodology. He attacks your thinking. And if it gets your thinking, then it gets your speaking. Then your speaking is going to be your actions, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, here we go, think on these things. You know, that's part of the good fight of faith, isn't it? Getting your thinking straight. It is so easy to get into negativity. There are just some things I just come across. I'm like, you know what? I don't even need to think about those things. I just turn it off. I just scroll on. I just move on, right? Because that could be wasted energy. It's good to be aware of things. But if we're going to sit around and meditate on these things, it says right here in the Word, right? And it doesn't mean we're not aware of things in our world. And, you know, we definitely have talked about some of those things here. But we want to... Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of a good report. You know, I like to think about how good God is. You know, I like to think about is how much better God is in His ways than mine, right? And we'll close with Ephesians chapter 10. Ephesians 10. You ever had some of those days too where you have everything's going great, and then you get home and you're like, oh my, looks like I'm going to be spending the next 2 hours doing plumbing tonight. That happened to me this week. Well, actually a couple of times this past week, right? Everything's just wonderful, and all of a sudden it's like, Dad, there's water everywhere. What's going on? Shut the water off. I got time for this, right? You know, I didn't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I just love those things, right? Two things. I had like a couple of, like a toilet and a sink and all kinds of lovely stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is just what I want to deal with. Just so wonderful. But I had to think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure. God, thank you that I have a broken toilet, right? God, thank you I have a broken sink, right? And money to fix it, you know, and buy parts and all that. You know, I just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when I get it fixed, it's going to be brand new. Brand new parts. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that wasn't what was coming out of my mouth at the time, but... But think on these things. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Here we go. And what? The power of His might. This is the good fight of faith. It's in the power of His might. And as we go along guarding your heart, there's some things that we need to do in the process to build ourselves up, right? Too many denominations, right, are doing these things. Or... in the church, they said, just pray for me. No, you got to take some personal responsibility. We need to live by the Word. Right? Remember Brother Hagin talking about people saying, well, just pray, pray that I'll stop worrying. Well, no, we're not going to do that. It's unbiblical. You got to get your mind under control. I mean, sometimes there's other things involved, right? Spiritual forces or, you know, sometimes there are harassing things that are meddling with people, you know. And there's some other things like, well, you know, I hope I don't think on these things. Well, no, you got to change your mindset. There's things that you need to do. And the Apostle Paul is telling those at Ephesus, he's going through this litmus test about putting on the armor of God. And what's he say here? Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. If the devil can get you out of the power of in the ability of the Lord, if he can get you on in the flesh where you're trying to do everything yourself, you are defeated every time. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to do a little bit of elbow grease and your work, and there's some things that you need to do, and they're just sometimes they're just time-consuming things, and you got to do it. But I'm saying you're trying to figure and do everything out in the flesh. And then it goes on, put on the whole armor of God. Here we go. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there's an attack coming. And there's some things that we need to put on. First of all, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stop there. Everything we see manifest in this world is either going to be coming from heaven or from hell. And we are not wrestling, you know, too many people, again, well, you know, God put this sickness on me and God put this disease on me. Really? So who is tempting Jesus in the wilderness, right? I mean, is God schizophrenic that he's like tempting himself and then putting, you know, trying to tempt himself? No. We see here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So everything we see happening in the world, all the evil, all the junk, is a manifestation in the spirit realm. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that here we go, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to stand. There are just some things we just can't pray out. We need to pray for some things. Sometimes, and there's just part of it. There's a God part, a God side, and there's our side. And we're trying to get God to do our part, and then sometimes we're trying to do God's part. And it doesn't work that way. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with what? The truth. How many people have no idea what the truth is? And the devil is eating their lunch all day long and leaving a note blaming God that he did it. And having what? The breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's important. Here we go. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What's 1 Timothy 6:12 say? Fight the good, what? Fight of faith. Our fight of faith is a shield to protect us. Let's go on here. And it says, verse 17, take on the what? The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We're not meditating on the Word. We're not speaking the Word out of our mouth. We're not doing these things. Right? And the helmet of salvation. Here we go. Verse 18. And then we see what prayer comes in. Right? So there are things we need to do. And then there's also a prayer time where, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Watching thereunto with all what? Perseverance and supplication. What? For all saints. And there's sometimes that we just need to spend time praying for other people too. You know, Brother Hagin said, I love this. He said, you know, I stopped praying for myself a long time ago. I just pray for other people. Why? Because he was putting on the armor of God. Not say that we don't, you know, believe for things, and there's things we don't pray out. But the kind of the assumption in here is when the Apostle Paul is telling those in Ephesus, you know what, you put all these things on, and then guess what? You're going to pray all the time. Just again, have a lifestyle of prayer, communion with me, and then also too, praying for all saints. Sometimes they're just people, they just need prayer and just help. We just need to pray and lift them up to help them move forward. And here we go, verse 19, and for me, again asking for prayer, that utterance may be given unto me, here we go, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So us guarding our hearts, it's going to know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're going to keep our mind on those things which are good, pure, and holy. And then also, too, we're going to put on the armor of God. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to be ready for the enemy, right? It's not if the enemy comes, it's when the enemy comes. There was, you know, Jesus dealt with the enemy, his whole walk here on the earth. And guess what? We're not more spiritual than Jesus. We're going to have to deal with these things too, right? But we have an advocate, right? That's why the Holy Spirit is called the advocate, our helper, our intercessor in help of time of need, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, to help us, to lead us, to guide us. Jesus said he'd lead us and guide us in all truths. And so, Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you so much for your word. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we're going to be the good soil type where we receive the word and it produces some 30, some 60, and 100-fold in our life, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're guarding our heart, that we're putting on the armor of God tonight, Lord God. We're walking things out. We're exercising prayer, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're fighting the good fight of faith tonight. And we're not letting the world seep into us and infect us. But God, we have an eternal perspective tonight on eternity, Lord Jesus, that we're not thrown off by a circumstance or a situation or a person or an offense, but God, we stay centered in you because you are our Lord and our Savior, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have prayer, have never made Jesus your Savior, we always want to pray with you, amen, or receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are just fabulous gifts from the Lord. Or if you need any prayer or anything, we definitely always want to open it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week. Amen. Be blessed.